Over the past few weeks, we have been looking at Jesus' sayings in the Sermon on the Mount. He has warned us that this is our foundation, that if we are hearing these things and doing these things, that we have laid a foundation, and no matter what happens in this life, we are built on rock, and when we stand before Him on the judgment day, God will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." These are wonderful blessings that Jesus has given to us. It's like getting all the answers to the final exam before the test is given. Knowing exactly what's going to be on the test, being able to study exactly what's on the test. The Bible is a huge book, but what's going to be on the test is basically covered in the Sermon on the Mount. And if we can cover those things and then incorporate all of the rest of the scriptures into that, we will find that we will be well on our way. Well on our way. To spiritual maturity, to spiritual usefulness to God, and to a tremendous future of success and joy. But it's all based not just on hearing, but on doing them. And so as we hear them again, because I know none of us here have not heard these before, but as we hear them again, we have to ask ourselves, how much of this is in my life? 10%, 50%? When I talk about being poor in spirit, when I talk about mourning, when I talk about being meek or being humble or hungering and thirsting after righteousness or being merciful, how much of that? How merciful am I? Our topic today is the peacemakers. Am I a peacemaker? When there's a conflict, am I the cause of the conflict? Or am I the one who is trying to stop the conflict? Every conflict between people, generally speaking, is a result of one side, both sides, creating a conflict. And the question, will I escalate a conflict if one is brought to me, or will I seek to give that soft answer to turn away the wrath? Will I try to be a peacemaker? Or will I become angry and turn it into a major battle? A peacemaker is someone who loves peace, who wants peace between individuals, which means that they are willing to sacrifice their dignity. Remember what Jesus said? If someone strikes you on the left cheek, turn the other, or right cheek, turn the other cheek. If he forces you to carry his garment for 1 mile, carry it for a second mile. That's dignity, brethren. That's hard to do. When people are pushing us into a realm where we feel like they're demeaning us, it's hard to be a peacemaker. But blessed are the peacemaker. You say, well, I couldn't do that. Well, Jesus could. We see Jesus being spat upon. We see Jesus being put a bag or something put over his eyes so that he couldn't see, and people striking him and saying, if you're really the Son of God, why don't you tell me who just hit you? And one after another were coming up and hitting him like that. And they were mocking him, and they were putting crowns of thorns on his head, and at any moment he could have said, I've had enough. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The question, brethren, that we have to ask ourselves is whether or not we are interested in being a peacemaker. Some people have too much pride to be a peacemaker. They're not going to let people walk on them. But that's the definition of a peacemaker. The definition of a peacemaker is somebody who wants peace so badly that they will allow those kind of things to happen. And so we have to ask ourselves whether or not the pride of life has short-circuited our desire to be a peacemaker. And short-circuited, I wrote an article. It was kind of interesting that these two came up at the same time. I'm doing articles on a separate part of the Sermon on the Mount, and my one yesterday was, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist the evildoer. Well, that's exactly what a peacemaker is. A peacemaker is someone who can turn the other cheek. A peacemaker is someone who can be cut off on the freeway and rather than turn it into a road rage incident, just swallows it and goes on. Or they have a confrontation with someone and the person is obviously belligerent and obviously wanting to escalate the situation, and the temptation is there to let it escalate. But the peacemaker says, no, I don't want that. And so, am I a peacemaker? When it comes to conflict and the conflicts that I have with the people in my life, is it because of me or is it because of them? Is it because I won't forgive or I won't turn the other cheek? Jesus is pretty clear on this. Whether they've sinned against you or whether you have a misunderstanding with them, you still have a responsibility to be the peacemaker. So as we open up this series or this lesson, I want us all to carefully consider the relationships that we have in this world. The world needs peacemakers. In the world, people often put the worst motives on what other people do or say. Do we? Do you put the worst possible motive? Love believes all things. Love puts the best possible motive. Why didn't he come and talk to me? Why did he say that? What was his thinking? What was his motivation? Well, first of all, Paul said, don't do that. But secondly, if you have to ascribe a motive, put the best motive, not the worst motive. We imagine malice or irritation in a simple mistake. Oh, they meant to do. And once again, that short circuits the peacemaker. We hear scorn where none was intended. There are many emotions that lead relationships into turmoil. Enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, and of course we could go on. Pride, arrogance. I've got a chip on my shoulder. If you just touch it, you're going to see somebody blow up. Because I don't put up with anything. That's a person who can never be a peacemaker. They're always going to be the troublemaker. Man's emotions are tender dry sometimes. I've been amazed as I've watched the culture. Our culture has become so angry and so ready to fight over politics, over religion, over the car parking place. People have been killed because they took my parking place. People have been killed because they cut someone off on the road. People have been mistreated. Fights have occurred. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. So many times, and we'll see this in the Proverbs, a soft answer turns away wrath. But if your response in this tender, dry world, if your response is one of anger or frustration or irritation, you're not going to be a peacemaker, you're going to be an escalator. You're going to let this thing grow. But brethren, we never know how far it's going to grow. And there's a lot of people out there who carry guns. And there's a lot of people out there who are shooting guns at other people because they opened their mouth when they should have kept it shut. And you know something, brethren? When they're lying there dead and their soul is departing from their body, I'll bet they're saying, I wish I'd kept my mouth shut. Wish I hadn't done that. That was, well, I won't use that word, but it was. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you have not, and you murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war. This happens in congregations. It happens in families. It happens in friendships. It happens in the workplace. It's everywhere. The attitude of I'm right. I matter. You're wrong. You don't matter. And that's not the attitude of a peacemaker. It's the attitude of a lot of people in our world today. And it's fascinating because most of the people who know they're right, as far as the scriptures are concerned, they're not right. And brethren, when we push a right into a wrong by leading to fightings and bitterness, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, as I said, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. He who builds his house on the rock is he who hears these words of mine and does them. So what kind of a peacemaker am I? When it comes to the congregational harmony, is it more important to me than my pride? Is it more important to me than my feelings, my dignity, my circumstances? Peace. Jesus died to make peace. So don't tell me the cost was too high. My dignity was at stake. That person mistreated me. That person didn't treat me fairly. So what? Turn the other cheek, go the second mile. That's the attitude of a peacemaker. The question is, how badly do I want peace in my world and in my relationships with other people? And God is very, very interested in that. And he's very concerned about that. And he's very concerned about the situations as they arise. It's kind of fascinating. Let me just tell you this little story that Brian and I went through with Prince. Prince is having some serious problems right now. And he is very unhappy. And he sent a lot of the texts that he and I wrote back and forth to each other to him. And we didn't know why. And Brian told me Friday night, I didn't read them. I don't know why he sent all those to me. I don't know what his situation is. But I don't want there to be a problem. So I've already decided I'm not going to read them. Well, I told him to go ahead and read them. And now we're trying to work through, what did he mean by doing that? Why would he do that? It could be that he's trying to separate Brian and I and make Brian upset with me, or it could be that he's trying to generate sympathy from Brian. Now, I could write him and say, Prince, I'm never going to study with you again. I've had it with you. You're not my friend. Look what you did. Or I can say, well, and that was my first thought. I don't like it when people do that to me. I don't like it when people try to get me in trouble with other people. But I don't think that's what he did. And if I had jumped to that conclusion, I might have been the instigator and we might have lost peace and we might have lost the entire work over there over a misunderstanding. But that's how it works, brethren. Things happen. People do foolish things. And it may be, when it all comes out, it may be that he was trying to do that. And even if he was, what's my response? Well, I'm going to turn the other cheek. That I'm going to keep the relationship going because we need him to keep the churches going there. And if he's got some issues, we're going to have to help him overcome those issues. We're not going to just throw him away. But you know, there's a lot of people out there who would get so angry that before they even thought about it, it would have been ruined, would have been destroyed. One of the songs in our songbook, Angry Words Are Lightly Spoken. Bitterest thoughts are rashly stirred, but not by the peacemaker. The peacemaker won't say those bitter words. The peacemaker won't say those angry words. He might think them, but he's going to keep his mouth shut because he doesn't want to violate the peace. And those thoughts won't be rashly stirred because he's going to put the best possible motive or be forgiving or be compassionate or be forbearing or be understanding. He's not going to allow, or she's not going to allow, something to break the brightest links of life because they can be broken. We've seen them be broken. But not by the peacemaker. The peacemaker cannot have a relationship that's going to be destroyed based on the conduct of other people. Now, there's going to be some roilings and there's going to be some troubles, but you know something? There's not going to be a rupture because they're a peacemaker. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with malice. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you. You will see that in the way we respond to relationships and in the way we keep our relationships and whether or not our relationships are violently broken because of something we did. If we are the reason, you say, well, I wasn't the reason. The reason is they said this and that's what set me off. Well, no, you're still the reason because you could have turned the other cheek and you could have just swallowed that and you didn't need to allow that to grow to that level. And so being a peacemaker is a very difficult problem in a world, and we're going to deal with this a little more next week with persecution. Persecutions are not fair. We know the truth. We're practicing the truth. We're walking with God. We're doing what God asks us to do. And now on top of that, we have to be mistreated by these ungodly people who don't even know the truth? That's a lot to ask. Well, no, it's not. Because I'm the one. Jesus died for me too. And if he could die for me, then I am an unprofitable servant. And I can do what he did. If he could die at the hands of those ungodly people, consider him who has endured such gainsayings of sinners against himself, lest you become weary. We can do this if we have the right mindset, if we want to. I can see the words, and I know what they mean, but now I have to say, well, I'm going to do them, or I'm not going to do them. And that's what it comes down to. It comes down to your will. I'm going to do them or I'm not going to do them. So as the lesson proceeds down, we look at different scriptures. You'll have to make your own mind up whether or not you're doing them and whether or not you will do them. The world desperately needs peacemakers. The divorce rate's just climbing and climbing, and parents and children are estranged, and they don't even know each other or love each other anymore. Brothers and sisters, we need peacemakers. In the nation, we just see the areas of problem in the church. And so with all the strife, the grudges, the anger, the jealousy, the misunderstandings, the gossip, the fragile relationships, the tender, dry attitude that many people have today, there's just not a lot of patience in people's hearts today. There's not a lot of understanding. If that flag, it says, don't tread on me. And it had a specific meaning, which is actually a good meaning. But it's not like that today. Not just the actions, but a love of peace. I want there to be peace. I don't want there to be conflict. Conflict generates strife. And strife will never do the will of God. And so the peacemaker wants peace. He loves peace. It's important to him. He who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. That's an interesting concept, because the word pursue here means persecute. It means follow it after. Follow after it. Now, it's such an intense word that it can mean follow after to persecute. But it also means to follow after for good things. It's kind of like a lot of the words that are that way in the scriptures. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Now, a lot of prophets could say this. Jeremiah was for peace, but whenever he preached to the people, they were for war. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to persecute him. They wanted to mistreat him. And yet, he still was a peacemaker. He still wanted peace. He still prayed for them. God kept telling him, don't pray for this people. Well, he couldn't stop praying for the people. Well, why would he want to pray for the people? They were mistreating him. Because he loved the people. And he wanted peace. And he knew that prayer is one of the most powerful ways to break down that hardened heart that is keeping the peace from being developed between those people. But I like this concept of dwelling with those who hate peace. We all dwell with people who hate peace. Some of our neighbors hate peace. Some of them are just looking for a reason to be angry with us. They don't like the way we do this with our house, or they don't like the way we do that with our house. Or I remember when I was a kid, my neighbor came over one day and said, you don't have to keep up with the Joneses around here, you have to keep up with the Hitchens. Because my dad was always doing stuff to the house. And the neighbors didn't like it. And I just thought to myself, well, what a terrible problem. But that's how it was. And that's how it is still. If it is possible, as much as depends on you. See, this is where the rub comes in. If you caused it, you violated this verse. If it depended on you and you'd have peace, but you created this conflict, then you have a responsibility to resolve it. Then we look at some of the other ones. I'm just going to quickly go through these. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. Cast out the scoffer and contention will leave. Yes, strife and reproach will cease. So don't be scoffing. Don't be mocking at people. Oh, that is so stupid. Cast out the scoffer. Contention will leave. Scoffing, making rude comments, making generalizations that make people angry, is not a part of being a peacemaker. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. As charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Words of the talebearer. I don't want to hear it. Let me tell you what so-and-so said about you. I don't want to hear it. What do you mean you don't want to hear it? Don't you want to know what they said? No, I don't. Don't tell me. Because if you tell me, it's going to create a problem. If they have a problem with me, they need to come to me. And you know something? If they said something about me like that, you need to go back to them and tell them, look, I went to tell him and he wouldn't hear it from me, but I think you need to go tell him what it is, or maybe I'll just go to him. Say, so-and-so wanted to tell me something you said about me. Not out of fight. Not out of rancor. Just to put the peace. What is the problem? Tell it to my face. Don't talk about me behind my back. If you have a problem with me, come and talk to me about it. I don't need a fight. If I've done something wrong, I'll tell you I'm sorry. If I haven't, then you need to say, well, I guess I should let it go. As the churning of milk produces butter and wringing the nose produces blood, so the forcing of wrath. You know, I could get mad. Yeah, I'm going to get mad. I'm going to force it. I want to get mad. I want to show this person. Forcing the wrath. There's a few more. A first man scatters abroad strife. A perverse, that means a twisted person. A twisted person is not a peacemaker to God. A perverse person, somebody who's twisted and perverted. He that covers transgression seeks love, but he that harps on a matter separates chief friends. Now that's why we have to forgive and forbear. We don't keep harping on it. We don't keep bringing it up. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and then he who sows discord. But I was mad. But they said this about me. But they hurt my feelings. They hurt my dignity. So what? What's more important? To do something God hates? Or your dignity or your pride? Or your sense of self-esteem? Brethren, if we have low self-esteem, let's just acknowledge we have low self-esteem, but let's not allow that to turn us into somebody who's constantly generating strife and fightings. The wisdom that is from above. This is what I spent a lot of time on in my article yesterday. Because most people could never do what Jesus said. If somebody hits you on the face, you think you could turn the other cheek? I don't mean turn the other cheek, oh, go ahead, hit me again. That's not what he means. It means you get hit and you keep your hands and you keep your mouth shut and you just submit. And you let them mistreat you like that. Now, it doesn't have to be with their fists. It can be with their mouth. How many of us could take a direct insult and turn the other cheek? In other words, not do anything, not respond. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. The wisdom that is from above. Jesus came down to show us something that's wise. Now, if I have this wisdom, then I'll understand and I'll know why I should turn the other cheek. And it'll seem like the smartest thing to do is to turn the other cheek. If it seems like a dumb thing to do, if it seems like I'd be a wimp to do that, if it seems like I'm letting somebody walk all over me, then I don't have the right wisdom. I have the wisdom from beneath, the devilish, demonish wisdom. The wisdom that is from above is pure. Then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. So at least let's acknowledge that our pride, whatever it might be, that leads us to create strife, is not wisdom. It's worldly wisdom. It's not from God. That'd be our first step. Some of us are so steeped in this. Some of us in our upbringing, some of us in the way that we look at people and the way we see people, we could never be peacemakers until we change what we consider to be wisdom. When you can't turn the other cheek, when you can't go the second mile, when you can't, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, why not rather be defrauded? It's better to let somebody cheat you than it is to create strife and stop being a peacemaker. And if that doesn't seem very intelligent or wise to you, then your wisdom's coming from the wrong place. The wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable. If your wisdom is not peaceable, if you don't know how to turn the other cheek, if you don't know how to give that soft answer that turns away wrath, but you're ready with a harsh word to stir up anger, if it's always going to be tit for tat, if it's always going to be I'm going to get even with you, if it's always going to be if you make me upset, I'm going to ruin your day. I'm going to ruin your day. Why not rather be defrauded? Why not rather just take it? That would be the spiritually mature. Yeah, but then they'd be gaining. They'd be the winner. It's not a competition between you and them. It's a competition, between you. Well, how shall I say? Between your flesh and your spirit. Between your faith in God and your trust in your own heart. The competition has nothing to do. If we see that as a competition, then we've got to rethink it. We've got to relook at our wisdom because we're not wise, we're fools if we can't see it. And that's an interesting concept that I think really crosses all boundaries. If there's something in the scriptures that doesn't make sense to me, then I'm a fool in that realm. Because if I can't see it clearly, there's something wrong in my head. Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. Now there's your turn the other cheek, there's your go the second mile, there is your get rid of your pride, get rid of anything that is keeping you from being a peacemaker, because with a sympathy and brotherly love and a tender heart and a humble mind and never repaying evil for evil or reviling, which means you say something bad about me, you're going to get it right back. But on the contrary, no, I'm going to bless you. For this end you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Now, this is spiritual maturity. This is where the men get separated from the boys and the women get separated from the girls. Where true spiritual maturity, where God can say, I have no one like them in all the earth. This is one of those dividing lines right here, especially in our culture because we are so steeped in this from the moment. You know, I was thinking about it yesterday as I was writing that article and I was thinking, you know, even sports and the competitive urge in sports tends to lead toward not being a peacemaker. Didn't used to be. It used to be, doesn't matter whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. But more and more coaches, they don't think that anymore. It does matter if you win or lose. And who cares if we have to cheat or if we have to be rude or if you have to set something more important aside in order for you to win. And so even our sports competition and even our competitive urge in so many realms of life has crossed the line now and is leading us away from this. Verse 10, for whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Who? Those who want to love life and see good days. So even if you don't want to do it for God, if you just want to have a good life and have good days, I don't like going to bed at night having people be angry with me. Even if they caused it, I don't like it. It's hard for me to sleep because I'm always going over and over. How could I have done this better? How could I have done that better? What did I do wrong? What did I do that could be resolving the situation? What can I do to resolve the situation? I don't like being in that situation, so I try not to let that happen. Verse 11, let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. No matter who started it. A lot of us can justify, well, you know, they're the ones that started it. Now, Jesus says both parties are responsible, and whoever doesn't end it is not a peacemaker. So whether sin is involved or just bad feelings, as much as within us. So here's the two verses. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember your brother has something against you. So write down, does any brother have something against you? What does Jesus say? You need to go take care of that. Leave your gift before the altar. Go your way. First be reconciled to your brother. How many of us say, I'll never do that. I'll never do that for him. I'm not going to do that for that person. I'm not going to do it. Oops. Wait a minute. Jesus said, if you hear these words of mine and do them, you're wise. If you hear these words of mine and you don't do them, you're foolish. Well, preacher, you're carrying it a little too far. I don't think so. I don't think I'm carrying it too far here. I think Jesus was very clear. First be reconciled, then come offer your gift. Then the other side of the coin. Well, they sinned against me. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. Blessed are the peacemakers. But it's costly. It's hard. This is a tough one. This is one of the more difficult ones because it takes in all of our relationships with all of the people that we've met along the way and all of the rude things that they've done. Now, I'm not saying we have to go back and fix everything. Some things can't be fixed. I can remember stuff in the sixth grade that you could go back and fix, but the person's not around anymore. I don't know how to find them. I don't thank the Lord. I think you just ask for forgiveness. But if you can resolve it, and you just say, I'm not going to do it. I am not going to do that. Well, let's rethink that. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another, in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. I think the biggest problem, maybe in verse 2, is that lowliness. There's such a haughtiness in the American people. I have my rights. You've just taken away my rights. And now anything goes. Because you took away my right. That's not what the founding fathers had in mind. They expected humility and civility. And, you know, you don't agree with me, but you have just as right to your opinion as I do. That's the world we live in. Even God allows us to have our own opinions until he takes us from this world. And even though I disagree with you, it doesn't mean you should die or that you shouldn't live anymore or that I should hate you or that you don't deserve to have the same breathing air that I do or you don't deserve to live in the same country as I do. But that's not the way it is today. There's a lot of pride and a lot of arrogance in the world today. We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. But that's not why I read the verse. Be at peace among yourselves. Be a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, because they are the true sons of God. Let's just quickly look at these. Is God a God of peace? Now the God of peace be with you. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Isaiah 9, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and he will be called, that last verse, the last words, Prince of Peace. So, as we pick up our songbooks, what do we need to do? Is there anybody we need to go talk to? If someone has aught against you, go and talk to them. If you have aught against them, go and talk to them. That's not something you can repent of. That's something you have to do. You can't just say, Father, forgive me. No, Jesus says go. So we have to go. If there's any problems we've created, if we are not the kind of peacemaker that we want to be, I hope you've jotted down some of these scriptures. I hope that maybe there's been something in there, some pivotal thing that you can think about and make some changes in your life. I know I see some things about myself this time through that I need to make some serious changes in. So as we sing the song of encouragement this morning, if there's anyone in the audience who would like to come forward because they need to be baptized and restore peace with God, we need to talk about that side of peacemaking, which is trying to bring people to Jesus and to God and create that peace. But let's just think about ourselves right now. Do we need to bring Christ our broken life? Do we need to bring anything to God? If you do, would you please make it known while we together stand and sing?